from the Huntington Bank Studio, this is Colts Up Close.
Thanks for joining us for another installment of Colts Up Close with Jim Sorgi. I'm Matt Taylor here on Wish TV. And as you know, Colts training camp is rapidly approaching. We're about 4 days away from players and coaches reporting to Anderson University for 2014 Colts football. Jim, it'll be here before you know it. How excited are you to see meaningful players, coaches, actual football on the field?
I think all of us are extremely excited. I mean, just the fact that we get to talk about something that's happening right now
exactly.
Instead of what we think is going to happen, what might happen. It's all going to be happening. The players, I'm sure they're excited. They're ready to go. You start counting weeks. You know, mm-hmm. We get a couple weeks away. It's, okay, I got 3 weeks. I got 2 weeks. Now it's, all right, I got a day, and then it's, all right, I got about 72 hours until I got to be at Anderson. But, I mean, we're all excited to see some of these guys get back in the field. We're all excited to see how Reggie's going to arrive at camp because it's always mm-hmm. a spectacle. So, but it's all about the here and now. Here it is and ready to go.
Yeah, as a former player, you can certainly relate to the countdown that goes on before training camp. One of the biggest storylines for Colts fans heading into camp, a lot of eyeballs are going to be on the running game, and specifically mm-hmm. Trent Richardson. And given all that the Colts gave up last year in the trade to acquire Trent, how much pressure is on him in the early going?
Well, I think the organization and the team are, and the players are behind him. I don't think a lot of pressure will come from the organization. I think it would be more from the outside influence on he's got to perform, he's got to perform now. And if there's a lot of undue pressure, it's going to be put on himself by himself. I think he just needs to go out there. He's got an offseason under his belt. He knows his playbook. That much further along, he's healthy, he's ready to go. He's got to go out and perform, but he doesn't have to do anything extraordinary. He just has to go out there and do his 1/11th of the job on offense. And if he can do that and the other 10 players around him can do their job, he'll be just fine.
I think you're right. All signs point towards Trent having a bounce back season, given that he's more familiar with the playbook, definitely. More familiar with his surroundings, his teammates, the city of Indianapolis, which you wouldn't think is a big deal, but once you know your way around town a little bit, you can feel a bit more comfortable about where you are. So within the running game, we also have to talk about Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
What are the chances of Ahmad coming back to true form the way we saw him last year rush the ball violently in San Francisco?
Well, Ahmad, everybody has seen it. He's a true competitor. He will not stop until he gets back to that form. And I think we're all going to see it again. The time he has gotten away because of the neck injury, because of the foot injury, mm-hmm. he finally got that time away to where he can get 110% healthy. He's healthy right now. He's chomping at to get the big bit to get back on the field and show what he's made of. And I think we're all going to see that. It's going to be a great battle on who's going to be our number one running back, who's going to get those first snaps on first and second down, because you have three backs in that stable that are all legitimate number one guys. Trent Richardson's a first-round draft pick. He's a number one guy. Ahmad has done it for a long time. He's a number one guy. Vic, before his injury, his rookie year, proved that he can be a number one guy. So I'm just interested to see how they're going to divvy up the reps, especially because I think all these guys are going to come back healthy and ready to play, and they're all going to want to be on the field. So how they're going to divvy up their playing time is going to be interesting to me.
Staying on the offensive side of the ball for Colts fans at training camp, it's the first chance they'll get to see Akeem Nix. How will the addition of Akeem Nix help the Colts offense?
Well, again, just like you have three number ones in the backfield, you got three number one wide receivers in your top three wide receivers. Reggie's a number one, has been doing it for a long time. Akeem is a number one, he's been doing it for a long time. And T.Y. Hilton proved last year when Reggie was out that he can be your number one receiver. So I think Reggie coming back from that injury, they can bring him along slow. We don't need him to do anything extraordinary. Just go out there and be the guy we know he can be. The security blanket for Andrew Luck, the guy that's going to get you the yards, be in the right spot at the right and do things the right way. Akeem, I think he's going to be your bigger stature receiver that's going to make the plays down the field and can take over those number one duties. But with all three of those guys on the field at the same time, and then you put a tight end and a running back, there's no one person they can take away because you can go to all three of them. And I think that's the kind of offense you're going to see. That's what Hakeem's going to bring. You know, one game is going to be one guy, the other game is going to be the next guy, and then so on and so forth. So I think that's what he brings.
All right, lastly, before we break here, let's switch over to the defense and talk about the secondary. There are some guys that need to prove it, that need to step up this year, Laron Landry and Greg Toler. And for Greg Toler specifically, primarily because he was injured most of last year. Needless to say, the Colts are going to need big years out of those guys. The Colts are going to need them to stay healthy, be on the field in order for this team to be successful.
I feel like they've proven what they can do when they're on the field. Now it's just prove you can stay on the field. I don't think it's a matter of how they're playing or what they can do when they're on the field. Just go ahead, stay healthy, take care of yourself, take care of your body, and be on the field because that's where we need you.
All right, time for our first break here on Colts Up Close. Plenty more to come this half hour. When we come back, we'll go one-on-one with Griff Whalen. Steve Andrus does that right after this when Colts Up Close returns. Coming up next.
From the Huntington Bank Studio, this is Colts Up Close.
Welcome back here to Colts Up Close. I'm Matt Taylor, and we've been talking about position battles heading into training camp in Anderson in a few days. And one of the biggest battles for the Colts at wide receiver, and one of the players entrenched in that battle is Griff Whalen. Steve Andrus, our media reporter, caught up with him earlier this week on the field.
Heading into his third season with the Indianapolis Colts, wide receiver Griff Whalen. And Griff, you're one of four Stanford players on the roster, offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton. I'm kind of curious, going into this third pro training camp for you, how is it different from a Jim Harbaugh two-a-days when you were in college?
It's a little different from that. There's a little more regulations here, keeping the players alive during training camp. So, the two-a-days won't be the same like they were in college, but I'm really excited for it.
I mean, you were a walk-on when you first get to Palo Alto, and then now you're in the NFL. I mean, you ever pinch yourself?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, it's been a dream come true, and I've been loving every minute of it.
What's the biggest reason you think you've been able to go from a guy who was really unheralded when he got into college to a guy who's on an NFL roster now?
I think it's a bunch of things. I think I've been pretty lucky to have a handful of really great coaches that have helped me develop the skills I need to do that, and just been able to get a few opportunities and kind of adapt to the situations I've been in.
Last two training camps with the Colts, a little up and down. 2012, you break your foot in August, put on injured reserve. 2013, you start the year on the 53-man roster. What do you have to do this time around to be a permanent fixture on that 53-man roster from the get-go?
I think I just have to show them that I can make plays. You know, I think I did that a little bit last year, and that was great for me to build some more confidence. So I think I just have to keep showing that and prove how I can help this team.
You look at the way the roster breaks down, the team waives Lavon Brazil, so a lot of people see six wide receivers. That's typically the number that a team keeps in the NFL. Do you feel like this is your most important training camp now that you kind of maybe see a spot open for you?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I think I'm, you know, physically in the best shape of my life and really excited to get out there. I think I can have a big year this year.
What do you pride yourself on most as a wide receiver?
I don't know if there's any one thing. I mean, obviously, catching the ball is big. I never like to have any drops. But then just being really on top of all the details, being in the right spot, running the right route the right way, and that kind of thing.
First touchdown in college, I assume, was from Andrew Luck, if I'm not mistaken. First touchdown in the NFL from Andrew Luck as well. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that first one last year as a pro?
It was pretty surreal. I mean, it was at home, so the fans were going nuts. And I just turned around and saw Andrew, you know, giant smile on his face, real excited. So it was cool. It was very cool.
Happened right off the bat, too. It was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Did you have nerves going into that game? What was it like for you?
No, I don't usually get too big of nerves before games, just normal kind of excitement, ready to go. So it wasn't any more nerve-wracking than any other game.
You and the rest of the Stanford guys have been around Andrew Luck more than anybody on this roster. How has he changed or evolved from when you first knew him?
I think he's gotten mentally a lot smarter about the game. You know, there's always more to learn, and it's helped a lot having a guy like Matt Hasselbeck around to show him a bunch of new stuff and tricks he's learned over his years. And then just also being a vocal leader, you know, not being afraid to talk to guys and be a leader in the locker room and on the field.
All right, now, I got to admit, I was trolling your Wikipedia page a little bit, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I saw it, I got to ask you. Your Wikipedia page says that you were named after the character Griff Tannen from the movie Back to the Future 2. Is there any truth to this?
No. That's actually the first I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, you may need to go update your Wikipedia page a little bit there.
I'll get somebody on that.
Well, he's born in 1990. The movie came out in 89, so you can't believe everything, I guess, that's on Wikipedia.
Nicely done, Steve. Thank you very much. And thanks again to Griff Whalen for his time leading up to training camp. Looking forward to big things this year out of number 17. We'll continue to talk position battles on this edition of Colts Up Close. When we come back, we'll talk defense and how the linebacker position shakes out. That's straight ahead when Colts Up Close returns right after this.
From the Huntington Bank Studio, this is Colts Up Close.
We are back here on Colts Up Close, and with training camp starting in Anderson this Wednesday, there are going to be a number of position battles between Robert Mathis being suspended for the first four games of the season and the addition of DeQuell Jackson in free agency. The linebacker spot has gotten the most publicity this offseason for the Colts. Let's now go to Colts.com writer Kevin Bowen and Colts media reporter Steve Andrus for a full report on the potential camp battles at linebacker.
Steve Andrus, Kevin Bowen, exploring some of the burning questions heading into Colts camp on July the 23rd. Running back's a big question. Trent Richardson, you have the safety spot. But also with Robert Mathis at linebacker, missing the first four games due to suspension, that competition, how do you see that breaking down? Some guys who are going to have a chance to get some more snaps.
And when the schedule came out and you saw Denver, Philly, week one and two, that definitely made it a higher importance if it could be. You lose 19 and a half sacks, so you aren't going to sugarcoat anything. You need guys to step up. Bjorn Werner and Eric Walden took pretty much all the first team reps at outside linebacker during minicamp when Robert was kind of resting. Because again, you got to see what you have out there for that month of September. And Werner is a guy that he isn't shy about it. He admits that he played a little scared last year at times. He battled injuries, the foot injury, plagued him for a few games during the season, and he said on this Colts Up Close set a couple weeks ago that he wants to show people why he was taken 24th overall back in 2013 and why Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano think that he could be a guy down the road that could obviously fill in for Robert Mathis. On the other side, you got Walden. Before the Mathis suspension came out, Walden talked about he wanted to improve his pass rushing prowess. He was a guy that was brought in there, thought to kind of set the edge in that 3-4 scheme, provide some leverage on the outside from that outside backer spot. Now he wants to improve his footwork, get after the quarterback. And again, with Denver and Philly, those first two games, you've got to get pressure on the quarterback early and often.
A lot of tempo, a lot of pressure on that defense first couple of weeks right out of the gate. DeQuell Jackson was one of the big free agent signees at the linebacker position. What is he bringing to this team, both on the field and also maybe in a leadership spot?
Durability on the field. He's a guy that missed one snap out of 1,150 last year. And Jarrell Freeman, who the other inside linebacker is definitely going to be, had, in my opinion, a Pro Bowl-type year. He saw so many different faces next to him last year. You know, there was a handful of guys that played big roles with him. Now it's going to be Jackson. He's going to be that guy. Maybe Josh McNary kind of comes in on passing downs. But DeQuell Jackson is going to be that guy, and like you mentioned, he gives you something off the field, a vocal leader, a voice, a veteran that wants to experience the playoffs, never did in Cleveland in his eight seasons. You lost Antoine Bethea, who's a veteran voice on the back end. DeQuell Jackson is going to be a big, big leader for this team, again, on the field from his durability and also off the field for this young Colts defense.
And in addition to Chuck Pagano, another former Brown on this team, like Trent Richardson, who has his old head coach in Rob Chudzinski here for camp on July 23rd in Anderson.
Thanks, Steve and Kevin, for that in-depth look at the linebacker position heading into training camp. You know, this past week, the Colts and the Indiana National Guard hosted the NFL High School Player Development 7-on-7 National Tournament here at the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center. All 32 NFL teams held a regional tournament for high school teams at their facilities earlier in the year, and every team that won those tournaments had an all-expenses-paid trip to Indy for the national tournament.
Well, basically, each team runs a high school player development camp, which is either a week-long camp or it's set up and finishes with a 7-on-7 tournament. And the winner of that 7-on-7 tournament gets to come to the national 7-on-7 between, you know, all 32 NFL clubs. you know, we were lucky we were local, so we just drove in, but they flew the other 31 teams in and take care of the hotel for a couple nights. Each kid gets, you know, about $400 worth of gear, free meals, and just, you know, a lot of leadership training here. So it's a great event for the kids and the coaches as well. They'll end up playing at least eight games against the teams, and then they start a single elimination tournament. And so they can end up with about 15 games through the 2 days.
This is just a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the kids. They definitely bonded as a team. You know, they're getting better. It's a process, you know, and hopefully they took something out of the last couple nights that will improve them in any facet of life.
I think we're great hosts. The Colts do things the right way, and we give it first class all the time.
Congrats to the team representing the Miami Dolphins for winning the 7-on-7 tournament this past week here at the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center. Coming up next here on Colts Up Close, we'll have Senior Director of Marketing Stephanie Pemberton to discuss all the information you, the fan, will need to know about the activities you can participate in during training camp in Anderson.
From the Huntington Bank Studio, this is Colts Up Close.
Hi, I'm Mike Newbold. Huntington Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Indianapolis Colts. Welcome to this Up Close in the Community moment presented by Huntington Bank.
Colts training camp for players and coaches starts next week. There's going to be a lot going on for them, but also the fans as well. And to talk about that is Colts Senior Director of Marketing. It's Stephanie Pemberton. How are you, Stephanie?
Great, Matt. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, it's great to have you. So with training camp, it's not just about the players and coaches. It's about the fans as well. And I always say, if you can't make it to a game at Lucas Oil Stadium, the best plan B is head to training camp. There's so much going on for the fans up there.
There really is. As you mentioned, we have a lot going on for fans. Colts City, presented by Verizon, is kind of our fan area. And so it's a great way where before you head over to the practice field, so you can hang out, you can meet cheerleaders, you can meet Blue, you can go to the Colts Pro Shop, we have inflatables, something for the kids, so lots of things going on up there at camp. We're going to have some special theme days this year too. We're going to have a Kids Day, an Armed Forces Day, and then we've got the big night practice coming up on the 31st as well.
Bring the kiddos.
Absolutely.
I love that. It's a family event. Best of all, F-R-E-E.
That's free. Right. Completely free. So obviously come and enjoy Colt City, then head into practice, watch practice, and then I know we'll have players signing autographs and things after practice. So a great opportunity, as you said, to get up close and personal with the team, especially if you can't make it to a game this season.
Also, fans, mark your calendar coming up. It's the Indianapolis Colts Back to Football 5K Run. It's August 23rd. At Lucas Oil Stadium, right?
That's right. We are kicking off the season with a 5K run, so you'll get to finish on the 50-yard line at the stadium.
How cool is that?
I know, right? It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So it's the morning of the Saints game, August 23rd, so you can register at colts.com/run. We also have a fun run, again, for the kiddos, so register for both of those. Bring the whole family down. It'll be a fun day in downtown Indianapolis.
Start the morning, go out for a jog, finish on
That's
the 50-yard
right.
line at Lucas Oil Stadium on the same field as the Indianapolis Colts. Make a day of it. Stay downtown. Grab a bite to eat. That's actually the same day we play the Saints.
Exactly.
So you can see a Colts game later that night.
Sounds
Absolutely. Like a great Colts Saturday
That's
afternoon.
That's right. Best, great way to spend your Saturday.
All right. That's Stephanie Pemberton, Senior Director of Marketing for the Indianapolis Colts. Another event that the Colts held last weekend, it was the Blue Evening with the Blue Ladies. That's a women's Colts fan club. Here's a behind-the-scenes look at that.
This is our fourth annual Blue Evening, and every year it's gotten better and better. The amount of people that are coming, the amount of sponsors that are involved just keeps growing.
I think women are fans in a different way that men are fans. Judge our team differently maybe from our male counterpart. For us, what's important is that we believe in the players, we believe in the coaches, that they're good people, that they're setting a great example in the community. And just that they're people that we really want to get behind and cheer for.
You just see how hardcore they are, just like men. And it just really gives me a chance to connect with them and really get to meet our fans and really just have a night where it's all about the Colts and all about women.
The women's fan base for the NFL and for the Colts is hugely important. I mean, I think there's commonly a misconception that our fans are just men sitting on the couch on Sundays, but I mean, tonight proved that the Colts at least have an awesome fan base in women.
Because they get to pick charity of their choice, so something that's really important to the player. So tonight it's A21, which really spreads awareness and education about human trafficking.
To protect the people that aren't seen in sex trafficking and slavery around the world, it's a very important thing.
Give Blue Ladies a chance if you're not a part of the club. Check out our website. Check out what we've done in the past year. We've revamped it completely last year. So we really are gearing it toward experiential-based things for our fans where they get to be a part of the team and be a part, feel like they're a part of our organization, because that's how we really feel about our fans.
Looks like another very successful Blue evening for the Blue Ladies, proving once again that the Colts have one of the strongest female fan bases in the NFL. That'll do it for another episode of Colts Up Close. My thanks again to Jim Sorge, Griff Whalen, Steve Andrus, Stephanie Pemberton, and Kevin Bowen for their contributions this week. That'll do it for the off-season portion of Colts Up Close, as next week training camp will begin, and we'll begin reporting from Anderson with all the latest Colts news. We'll see you next week at 11:30 right here on Wish TV.